With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Craig Calcaterra, writer and editor of the daily baseball newsletter, Cup of Coffee.
You gotta try this coffee. It's the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
This is better than Mocha Joe's.
Bringing you up to speed on what's happening in Major League Baseball.
It has been posited that Javier Baez is missing something in his game when he doesn't have people there to entertain.
I'm not yet ready to get on board of some train that says, oh, it's because he's losing energy from the fans. This is not professional wrestling. It's not Hulkamania where all of a sudden his finger is going to go up and he's going to start pointing and hulking out on everybody. I just think it's baseball. It's complicated.
Craig Calcaterra with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Last hope for the Astros. And on the first pitch in the air, right field, that is playable. Coming in, Margot, and that's it! The Tampa Bay Rays have won the American League pennant!
Towering fly ball. The Dodgers come from behind in the series. They come from behind in Game 7, and they win the National League pennant!
Highlights courtesy TBS and Fox. This segment is brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grisly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. Craig Calcaterra, national baseball writer, the Cup of Coffee newsletter, cupofcoffee.substack.com. He's on Twitter. Craig Calcaterra is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We have reached the World Series, Craig, and in this 60-game season, this memorable and improbable season, it's no small achievement.
No, I'm just happy we got here. I mean, I didn't think we would. If you had asked me to bet on it back in July, I would have thought that it might not happen. I actually argued that it shouldn't have happened, but hey, what do I know? So now let's talk about what I think about the World Series, right?
Right, and whether or not you have any kind of rooting interest in this, I guess I've talked myself into a place where I don't like it when great players are dogged by an inability to replicate their talent and success in the playoffs. I guess I'm rooting for Clayton Kershaw.
That's a good thing to root for. I agree with you on that. I don't like that whole, oh, he can't do it in the playoffs. I mean, if you look at Clayton Kershaw's playoff failures in the past, he's not even the author of half of them, right? A lot of them are a function of Dave Roberts or Don Mattingly leaving him in games too long, his bullpen not picking him up. Baseball's a team game, even for pitchers, and I think that his greatness should not be sullied by a failure in the postseason. So, hey, I'd like to see the postseason have some success for him, have him get a ring so we don't even have to talk about that kind of nonsense. As far as a rooting interest beyond that, I'm one of the few baseball writers out there who doesn't hesitate to say he roots for teams. I'm a Braves fan. I was rooting for the Braves to beat the Dodgers, but my secondary rooting interest for a very long time has been the Dodgers. My wife's from L.A. I've got a lot of friends in L.A. I like blue, so I wear a Dodgers hat a lot. It's just one of those things. Plus, in this series, I have a specific anti-rooting interest. I have to root against Kevin Kiermaier, the center fielder for the Rays, because 5 years ago on Twitter, he made fun of a picture of me with my cats and then blocked me. And if that's not a reason to root against somebody, I have no idea what is. Me and my cats are rooting against Kevin Kiermaier. Sorry, the rest of the Rays. You fall with them.
And meanwhile, Kevin Cash is going to be under a microscope that he hasn't had to deal with before. And one thing you love about him, he manages hard. And that's because he kind of has to. He's got a fraction of the payroll. He can't just write out the lineup card and say, you guys go do it. If ever there were a time when you get to watch someone manage, this is a case for it at the highest level.
Yeah, normally we use that as some way to bash a manager. Oh, we didn't come to see you, you know, pull the strings and read the notebook and all that. But Kevin Cash is an amazingly good manager. I mean, he's probably one of the best sort of tactical managers in all of baseball, I think, for the reason you state. He's had to be, but he's really, really good at it. There are a lot of managers that have had to do those things and have failed miserably. Cash knows what strings to pull. He doesn't leave pitchers in too long. He knows who to go with. His gut instincts seem to work very well for him. I know there's a lot of help there. He's got a front office. It's not like he's doing it by himself, and they work very collaboratively with the Rays. But Cash is a fantastic manager. And, you know, I can't say that, oh, I'm rooting for him to manage really well. No one cheers for a manager, but he is a great one. And given the limitations the Rays have, he is entitled to so much credit for where they've gotten.
Something I'm trying to figure out that doesn't make sense to me, and I actually reached out for some advice on this. Cody Bellinger hits the home run. And then in the celebration afterward, there is sort of an awkward high five. And he said his shoulder dislocated. It actually popped out of the socket. It was placed back in. And then he said, everything's fine. And I know we think about, like, you know, Mel Gibson's character, Martin Riggs in Lethal Weapon or something like that.
I was about to go with that.
Oh, sorry. But I asked an orthopedist who said there's no way a shoulder can come out like that without there being some damage to the labrum. And thinking that either that was a pre-existing condition, either there was some laxity in there that he's just been dealing with. Like, for them to so blithely say everything's okay means there might have been something, something that he'd been dealing with before, but that's not a trivial thing. Say, no big deal, his shoulder popped out, he's fine.
Right, I know. You're never going to get truth from a player or even a team about their health at this stage, right? You'll hear later if Bellinger goes, like, you know, 0-19 in the series and the Rays win, you'll hear stories, oh, well, you know, Bellinger wasn't right. You know, he dislocated a shoulder. That's major, you know. Now they're downplaying it. I also think, you know, everybody had that weird friend in middle school who could do weird things with their body, right? Like, oh, look, he's flipping his eyelids. Oh, look, he's dislocating his shoulder. You know, and then they went on to become people who escaped from straitjackets on, you know, sideshows somewhere. I feel like
they go on to be Jeffrey Toobin eventually.
Hey, I'm on a Zoom right now with you guys. Look at me behaving myself. Anyway, I think we might have a definitional problem of what popping a shoulder is. There's dislocation, then there's just that guy who's got double joints and makes a little popping sound. I have no idea, but I think that he's going to be fine. If he's being as blasé about it, he probably is. But, yeah, wait for the excuses after the series if he doesn't come through.
If you want to get a look at Craig Calcaterra, you can. He is not rocking a baseball hat as he usually does today. You can see him on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. I'm interested to see how these managers work the high leverage situations and what we understand in World Series games now about how sometimes it's the bottom of the fourth when that game is going to get decided, and the inflection points that we see along our graph of win expectancy aren't in our control. We would love for all of them to be in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. But do you think we have a best practices now among these the teams that understand that what was once considered conventional is just now not, and you can only manage the game and the situations as they sequence in front of you?
Oh, I think every team understands it, and I think even baseball media and most baseball fans are beginning to understand it very well. Look no further than in the ALCS, that game when Dusty Baker left Zach Greinke in. After he visited him on the mound, left him in a little bit. He was in the third time through the lineup. He actually got out of it. It was successful for him. It was headline news for like 2 days that Dusty Baker left Zach Greinke in to do what, until a couple of years ago, every starting pitcher, especially in the postseason, especially one like Zach Greinke, would be allowed to do and finish off batters, even though he's technically past his point of usually being pulled. I think everybody gets that now. I think, again, the biggest criticism when Kershaw fell on his face in the NLCS against the Braves was Dave Roberts left him in too long. Top of the lineup to begin an inning, third time through the lineup. You don't do that, especially with some dangerous lefties coming up who hit lefties well, batters who hit lefties well. So I think everybody's kind of internalized that. I think that Dave Roberts has learned that lesson a lot. And I also think that the fact that we've got off days in the World Series where we didn't have off days during the League Championship Series, the Division Series, is going to help him pull that trigger a little further. He knows that he could do that. He can rely on his pen, knowing that at two occasions at the most, he's going to have some rest time for his relievers.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, actually, because as I'm looking at the schedule here in my Tribune Sports section, Tuesday, Wednesday, one off day, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So this is still dense, and it's going to mean that the way they would look at usages is going to change. What's the secret sauce here? How do you think there is an inequity? How can somebody game this better than the opponent?
I don't know if there's a secret sauce. You ask a manager about it, they always say it's the hot hand or whatever. But I think this certainly benefits the Dodgers, right? Because they don't have the arms that the Rays have. If you're going 7 days in a row, possibly, like we did in the LCS, the Rays are just going to attrition you with bullpen. They've got all those guys that throw 98 miles per hour. The Dodgers have had shaky experiences with Pedro Baez, then he came back okay. Shaky experiences with Kenley Jansen, then he came back okay. Gratterall, he looks good, then he doesn't look good. I think that extra day or extra 2 days is going to help. I know it's, five games in 6 days, but that's no different than the regular season, really. You see that all the time in the regular season. So I think this helps the Dodgers. I don't know what secret sauce a manager uses for that, but the fact that this is the end of the season, this is it, means that they can go all out with these guys, and a lot of the normal bullpen thinking is not going to be as prevalent here. Just go out, throw hard, do the best you can, because then you've got 4 months to rest.
Is there a comp for Randy Arozarena for being somebody with that young, that inexperienced, and then doing what he's doing this consistently on this stage?
You know, he's the closest comps I can come up with are those flash in the pan guys. Like, who was that Yankees guy? Kevin Moss or somebody who came up that time. They have a late season call up. They rack forever, and then you spend 4 or 5 years wondering what happened. I mean, we even saw that a little bit with the former Dodger Yasiel Puig, right? He never was what he was when he first broke on the scene. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Arozarena. It's just, the guy was on the taxi squad until August. And him coming up like this is pretty incredible. I think every World Series, not every World Series, but there are a lot of World Series that, that had guys like that who became these sort of, temporary heroes. But he's legit. I mean, it's not like he's just lucking into hits and doing really well, and he's going to be a feel-good story that goes away. Look at the ball off the bat metrics that we're seeing from him. He's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting barrels. The guy is seeing very, very well. I think there's every reason to believe that this is going to be not quite what he is going forward, because no one is this good, but that he's going to be a really solid player, and we're going to find out the Cardinals just didn't give him a chance where the Rays have.
Do you think it's fair to read into the larger story of the payroll disparity and what effect that may have on collective bargaining negotiations? Does this really prove anything, or is it just a facile storyline that we can kind of glom onto in a season where we've already agreed that so little may really matter?
I think right now it's an irrelevant story, just for purposes of the World Series. There is nothing that the payroll is going to do at this moment in this next 8 to 9 days that are going to help the Dodgers be better than the Rays. Where they are right now is the Dodgers were 3 games better than the Rays in the regular season. They are clearly the two best teams in baseball right now. And all the payroll and all the revenue stuff, that's chatter. That's to talk about in the offseason. That's about team building. That is not about what happens in the World Series. We're going to use that now as a narrative, David versus Goliath, all that. But these are two Goliaths as far as baseball players go. Let's save that for next year. We're going to have plenty of that with the CBA. Right now, let's just talk about head-to-head baseball.
Craig Calcaterra, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Good health.
Thank you very much, Dan.
That is Craig Calcaterra. You should subscribe to the Cup of Coffee newsletter to get it right in your inbox every morning. It's baseball, and it's more than baseball, so you get a little bit extra with your subscription at Substack. The Midday Midway comes up next, and we have to talk about candy and improbability. Candy's always top of mind as we approach Halloween, but there is a sports writer and broadcaster that claims to have been unaware of a candy in a way that I think strains credulity. And it had me thinking about when this candy debuted and what it meant to me. And if we have time, we need to get to the bizarre story of an actual human giant. It's the Midday Midway. It's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.